And as I was thinking about this evening together, the words that were very much on my mind over about a week are these: Great High Priest. We conclude our prayers, possibly always in private and certainly in public, for Jesus' sake, or for Christ's sake. This is the only argument that will prevail with God in prayer, whether you are a saint or a sinner. Without that, and an understanding of the significance and importance of that, our being here at any time for any purpose is pointless. If we do not understand something of this and appreciate what "for Jesus' sake" means, you're still under the wrath of God, exposed to divine justice. Our prayer, our praise, our lips, our collection, our so-called fellowship is meaningless. So I would like, with God's help this evening, just to think about seven, and there are many more, seven aspects of our great high priest. Most of these, all of these in fact, can be found in Hebrews and other parts of the Bible. I would like to try and with you meditate on the question: how is Jesus different from all the other Old Testament priests? We sang the first one. He is a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. All the others were following on from Aaron. Where did Melchizedek come from? Reading the Bible, it seems as if he might have come out of the clouds. We have no idea. We don't know. Hebrews 7, verse 3 tells us, without father, mother, or genealogy, Jesus was not a priest after the order of Aaron. Because the law, we're told, made nothing perfect. Hebrews 7 again, verses 11 and 12 tell us that the Aramic priesthood did have a purpose, and it was to point us to Christ. And we're told in the next chapter, chapter 8, verse 6, that Christ has obtained a ministry which is much more excellent. So the first point is that he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The second one is all the Aaronic priests were sinful. But your great high priest, our great high priest, again in Hebrews 7 we're told he is holy, harmless, undefiled, and did not need to offer up a sacrifice for himself. He stood before God as the Lamb, without blemish, without spot. He made his soul an offering for sin. He had done no sin. Neither was any guile in his mouth. And I think that reference to guile cuts me apart. If Jesus was tainted with the least sin. All that he did and all that we are doing would be pointless. So that's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Our great high priest without sin. Number three. All the Aaronic priests died. But our great high priest is, as we are told in chapter 7, verse 3, he is a priest forever. He continues ever. Hebrews 7, 24, he holds his priesthood permanently. He knew what was coming down the road. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was going to suffer. And he did not leave his power. He still had his power. He was and is the God-man. Remember when they came to him before he went to Calvary and they spoke with him, what happened to those who approached him? They fell on their faces. And yet, he went forward to Calvary for us. He continues forever. He has the forever priesthood. Number four, the Aaronic priests had a lot of sacrifices to do. Wringing the bird's neck, slitting the bullock's throat, rams and calves and doves, you name it. And they were doing it all the time. Many, many, many sacrifices. But Christ, once. Chapter 9, verses 25, 26. Once hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It's an interesting word, that once. In that chapter, you'll find it more than once. And one of the other times you find it is in this sentence. It is appointed unto men once to die. You've got it. He died once. Chapter 10 tells us what Jesus says. A body you have prepared for me. So that he could go and do this once for all event at Calvary. An amazing event which must preoccupy our affections and our minds. John Murray describes it this way. The cross was the climactic fulfillment, but not the terminal one. It was the climax of what the man, Christ Jesus, did, but it wasn't the end of it, because he continues ever. One, order of Melchizedek. Two, the priests were sinful. 3, the priests died, but Christ continues ever. 4, the priests made many sacrifices. He made one. 5, all of Aaron's sacrifices and the priests who followed Aaron, the Old Testament sacrifices were just signposts or pointers. Pointers to Christ coming in the fullness of time. We read it there in Romans 5. In due time, about which Jesus said, the hour is come. And they were all pointing to this. Hebrews 10:14, by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. So that event has implications not only for our lives, but for all time and for eternity. It was pointing to him there. I've noticed in the last couple of years that our pastor John has several times referred to the fact that the Father loved us. Now we see at Calvary and in the finished work of Jesus at Calvary, his love. But there's more there. The Father loved us not because the Savior died, but the Savior died because the Father loved us. And that love is from before the foundation of the world. Infinite efficacy, infinite value. 6. Aaron's priests, the Aaronic priesthood, appeared before God on behalf of the people in temples made with hands, buildings. Christ appears. Where? That's it. In heaven. Passed through the heavens, carrying the blood of the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. So, dear fellow believer, you in your sin, in your disappointment with yourself, you can say with John, in John chapter 2, verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, one who pleads with us, yes, but for us, one who's a helper, one who is, there's that lovely expression, touched with a feeling of your infirmities. You think, and I with you, nobody understands me. Nobody's gone through what I've gone through. Nobody has experienced this. Perhaps not. But he understands. He touched. He's touched with a feeling of your infirmities. That is wonderful. He's also had experience. The dust of earth, as Rabbi Duncan said, on the throne of heaven, the man there knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be forsaken. He knows what it is to suffer physically, emotionally, and mentally. He understands. We have an advocate with the Father. Aaron's priests appeared before God in temples made with hands. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Some of you will remember James Montgomery Boyce. He spoke in the East Church here on more than one occasion. I knew him reasonably well. And I remember some months before he died, he was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. And many, and his congregation and friends, were praying for his healing. Good enough. But his response was, "Pray that I would enjoy God. Pray that I would delight in him, that I would say, 'Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" Number 7. The priests in the Aaronic line were merely and only priests. Our Savior, our great high priest, is a prophet, priest, and king. And he executes these offices in his time of humiliation and in his time of exaltation. As a prophet, he is speaking to me and to you tonight, because he is the same on this dark Wednesday in November as he was when he walked with his disciples. And he's saying, and I trust you're hearing it, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more forever." He wishes you to enjoy him. And to hear him. The great high priest is more than a priest. He's a prophet, and he's interceding for us. I don't know where it was, but very recently we heard a sermon on the last parts of John 17. "I pray you, Father, that you would keep them from the evil one." That's no bad, is it? Hear him. Praying for you. Interceding for you. The continual intercession. He's a prophet speaking to you tonight. He's a priest interceding for you this Wednesday evening. And he's a king ruling for you. Question 26 of the Catechism. Ruling and defending us and conquering all his and our enemies. Here's the question, answer, question 25. Christ executeth the office of a priest in his once offering of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God. Doesn't stop there though. The last phrase is so majestic. How dare you leave the building without joy when you hear it? And making continual intercession for us. As I was mentioning the one sacrifice, I was remembering another friend. His name was Terry Atkinson. Some of you know Franco Maggiotto. I've one about Terry Atkinson too, but this one's about Franco Maggiotto, who did visit here, who was actually financed for quite a while by Blesswood. He was a Roman Catholic priest in Imperia, on the coast, in the north of Italy. And he was saying the Mass, and he was walking up the step of the altar, saying the Mass. And words from the scripture, from the Mass, he was repeating them. And his life was changed. And these words were, once for all. He saw his great high priest, once for all. So he carried on as a Roman Catholic priest. And the congregation grew. The church was in the center of Imperia, and they started having to bus people in to the piazza outside. The place was packed with people because his message had become the message of the great high priest who once did it all. And then the Catholics began to wonder, and they tried to get rid of him. It's a wonderful story. He was a great friend of Pavarotti. Yeah, he was a secretary to Vatican II. He wrote in the Banner of Truth magazine. But these words once for all changed him. May these words comfort us this evening, our great high priest. I'm John Murray on this subject, and having written on this subject, this is what he said in his concluding paragraph. I mightn't have every word correct, but that's, you know me, that's what I do. We should be humbled to the point of speechlessness. The thought of the intercession that saves us from the doom that our ongoing sinfulness deserves to bring us to glory. We should be humbled to the point of speechlessness. Seven things. Order of Melchizedek. Priests were sinners. Priests died. Christ ever lives. Many sacrifices. One sacrifice. Aaron's pointed to Christ. He appears in heaven, and he's more than a priest. Now, this was Monday night. I was lying in bed, and I couldn't get to sleep. And I was thinking about this, and I said, what am I going to say? How am I going to treat it? And I came up with something which I found helpful since, and I trust you might also. High priest. The letters, high priest. High, heaven. I, immortal. G, God, gracious, good. H, hearing and helping. High, priest. P, permanent. R, the Redeemer that paid the price. I, intercedes. E, emphasizes. Empathy, feeling of our infirmities. S, I was struggling with S for a while. And then sitting at the right hand of God. And tea, you'll know where tea is, won't you? You've got it, haven't you? Triumphant. He's risen, our great high priest. May you delight in him. Now, there's a few things that we would like to pray for.